Ramsey TV.
I thought about grace and peace all day today. Honestly, that was amazing yesterday. That hit me, obviously. I mean, like you, I've read over that hundreds of times. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But, wow. I mean, these things that I teach, that I'm reading in the scripture, they're not just things to know. They make a difference in your life. You know, it's like I say, this stuff works when you live where you live. It's not theoretical. It's not some lesson on a whiteboard. This is real. These are survival truths that are going to get us by until the snatching away or until we meet in South Carolina. I'm going to be getting to that. This is your friend and mine, Martin Zender. I'm happy to speak to you always. This is the highlight of my day, fellowshipping with you. I'm thankful for the technology. I'm usually frustrated by technology. If you saw the mess around here, I always look neat and composed and cool, and people say, "You're so together, Martin Zender. I hate to admit it, but you got everything going on." Folks, you don't see me. 10 seconds before I turn on the camera or 10 seconds after. See, so, I mean, it's not like I'm crazy or falling apart or anything. It's just that when I'm plugged in, like John Lennon used to say this, because he said, when I'm plugged in, everything is okay when I'm plugged in. So right now, I'm plugged in to this computer. I'm plugged into you. You're plugged into me. This is a good space. It's a good space right here. So you're at MZTV. I'm Martin Zender, your host. I am going to finally get to the book of Hebrews and contrast it with the glorious truths and freedoms and graces and peaces we've been talking about from Paul.
I love those graces to pieces.
Don't know where that came from. I apologize. Now, I'm going to put a link down here again every day now. Every day it's going to be on my website, and it's going to be here on the video to the South Carolina Conference, September 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Folks, I know it's hard to travel. I know it's tough to leave the house. It's tough for me too, but I'm going for it. And the typesetter of my books is coming also. Catherine Quintero Torres, she's going to be there. And our hostess says she's already got a good group of people who have confirmed they're coming. And I would like to invite people right here. I want to shout out to some people. And I'm going to ask you to come to the conference because it's important. It's important to fellowship. If you've never been to one, it's going to be one of the best experiences of your life. You'll be thrilled. You can't believe that so many people in one place believe like you do. I'm telling you, it's a refreshment that is going to fuel you for weeks, if not months. It's an energy. It's a battery recharge. I've been to many of these things, and I'm always exhausted afterwards, but there's an afterglow that really does carry you. And so anybody who lives in Florida, in fact, I decided I'm going to drive. I'm going to drive to the conference. So, yeah, it's easier than the big hassle of flying. And I'm not making myself wear a mask in my car. So that's going to be awesome. I want to shout out to Kelly and Johnny and Caitlin Green. Big fans of the show. They watch every day. I love you guys. I would love to see you at the conference. You live over there on the other side of Florida on the West Coast. There's some cool people over there. You're definitely among them. And so I would love it if you guys take a road trip, come to the conference. It's only like 8 hours for me to drive to Columbia, South Carolina. So maybe it's a little more for you, but road trip. Everybody, if you live in Virginia, if you live in North Carolina, if you live in Florida, if you live in Alabama, what other states do I have written down here? Did I say Virginia? Take a road trip. Tell the wife and kids, sorry, Gotta go. I'll be back on Sunday night or Monday. I'll be back. It's Labor Day weekend anyway. It's the perfect time. You might not get another opportunity like this. And something great's going to happen. I mean, I already know that. But I got to tell you something else that I know is going to happen. The books. The Live Everyman's Battle. I made a deal with the printer to put the hustle on it. And these books are going to be unveiled at this conference. Finally. I sent it to the printer yesterday. They have a delay. They're backlogged. But greased the skids a little bit there. And so the books will be there. You'll be seeing them completed for the first time. At the same time, I see them completed. I've seen the guts we've had, what they call bound galley. We call that in the industry, a bound galley. But I'm going to see the whole thing for the first time when I open that package, having it shipped directly to South Carolina. I haven't told Tracy and Jack that yet, but yes, there's a package coming to your house. Should get there the day before the conference. So, Kimberly Haight, you're within earshot and you're in Florida, drive on over to the conference. I would love to see you. Heidi Culpo is the co-author of The Lie of Every Man's Battle. I would love to see her and Danny there. Even the kids. Hop in the car. You're 5.5 hours away. Motor to South Carolina. Now, I'm going to do something crazy right now, and that is I'm going to invite Scott Hicko. Scott Hicko, sir, you make some great videos. I really like your videos. You got a solid grasp on the truth. I am going to invite you publicly right here on MZTV. You don't know about, he doesn't know about this, folks. He doesn't know what I'm about to say. I would like to invite you. I don't even know where you live. For all I know, you could live in Vancouver, British Columbia. You might live in Zaire. You might live in Afghanistan. I don't know where you live, but if you can get to the conference, I want to invite you to be a speaker at the conference. Bring the wife, bring the kids. I don't even know if you're married. Bring your dog. Come to the conference. This is a big deal, my friends. So if you're in any, if you're in three surround, five, six, seven surrounding states, drive. If you live in California, fly. If you live in Anchorage, fly. This might be the last great gathering of the body of Christ. And we're going to unveil the books. And I can't guarantee it. I would love to get Heidi Culpo, my co-author, there. Don't know if that'll happen. Because I'm shouting out to all these people and calling them out. They don't even know it. So they're hearing their names and they're going, oh my God, no, I have to go to the conference. No, you don't have to go to the conference. I'll just be extremely disappointed if you don't. Time for a road trip. Time for a road trip. All right. There are some people who don't understand that there are two different messages to two different people in the scriptures. Paul is writing to the nations about a wonderful thing called grace, crazy little thing called love, and of course, peace that comes from it. But in Hebrews, we see a entirely different and scary proposition. Let me put a bookmark here in Romans 8, because I'm going to come back here. Now I'm going to go to Hebrews. I like the book of Hebrews, because I understand it is written to, get this, I know this is my genius showing here, it's written to Hebrews. I know. This is why you tune in to MZTV. It's written to the Hebrews. And it is a very special letter. The author is not named. It's the only book in the scriptures where you don't know who the author is. But I know who it is, because I have inside information. It's Paul. The reason Paul didn't sign his name to it is because Paul's name was Mud back in the day, especially when he's writing to the circumcision. They hated him. But nobody knew more about the circumcision gospel and the uncircumcision gospel than Paul. And only he could explain why the kingdom did not come after the death, entombment, resurrection of Christ. 50 days later, Pentecost, Peter preaching that great message. Everybody hears it in their own language. It's a miracle. Lame people are walking. Blind people are seeing. And there's a big hullabaloo in Jerusalem as thousands of people believe, and the kingdom is at the door. But just like in the wilderness, when Israel was at the door of the promised land, Israel's turned away because of unbelief, because they didn't treat our friend Peter very well. No, they didn't treat James very well. They didn't treat Stephen very well. They killed those who were announcing the evangel of the circumcision and the inauguration of the millennium. Who killed them? Who killed these people? Why are they so mean? Why are they so stupid? It's the religious leadership. They were responsible for the people and they turned it away. They rejected Christ and they rejected the message of the disciples. Remember, Jesus said, if you dismiss me, there's forgiveness for that. But if you dismiss the Holy Spirit, there is no forgiveness for that sin, either in this eon or that which is impending. This is not the so-called unforgivable sin, because there's no such thing as an unforgivable sin. Jesus specifically said there's a sin that won't be forgiven in this eon or that which is impending. The eon that is impending is the 1,000 years. So the leadership in Israel, they crucified Christ, but on the cross he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. So they got off the hook for that. I might not have been as gracious. But we're talking about our Lord here. But so they had a, quote, second chance at Pentecost. This was now the testimony of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if you disregard that testimony, then you're out. And they did, and they're out. But it was the occasion for a new message to go forth from Paul. With Israel off the table, now God can do a completely new thing with Paul, and he did. So Hebrews is written to the people who are stunned. There was lots of people who believed the truth, and they're looking for the kingdom to come, and it didn't. But they hear of this new movement of the Spirit by this Paul guy who used to be Saul, used to be a great Pharisee, used to be a persecutor of those nasty Christians, whatever, but he was converted by Christ himself, and he's doing something new. So, but their question is legitimate. What happened to the kingdom? Paul's explaining it in Hebrews. That's a little backstory of Hebrews. I did an entire series on this, an audio series from Pennsylvania. You can find that at the all-new Zender Sheridan Show. You will find the all-new Zender Sheridan Show. I think there's 400 audios there. Go to martinzender.com, scroll down the left, you'll see the all-new Zender Sheridan Show. Watch the classic Zender Sheridan Show. They're audios, but I do a whole series on Hebrews. But no one knew more about both evangelists than Paul. So he's helping his brethren to understand the times. He's encouraging them to hang on. He puts forward to them the heroes of faith who died having not received the promises. And I think Paul knows that many of these people are going to die like those in the wilderness having not received the promises. But there's going to be some faithful people who die. Those in the wilderness, they died because they were unbelievers. But there's some good Israelites who are going to die. It's a tough gospel. The gospel Jesus brought to earth, it's a tough gospel. Listen to what Paul writes. And again, this is the same Paul who's writing in Romans 8 and Romans 5. What I'm about to read is a harrowing passage if you apply this to yourself. If you just read the whole Bible and think that it's all the same, it's all to the same people, it's all about the same gospel, you're going to be terribly confused. You're not going to believe. You're either going to read of the grace in Romans and Ephesians, and then you're going to come here and read what I'm about to read you, and you're going to be so scared you're going to throw away the grace. Or you're going to you're going to believe the grace, which I hope you do, but then you're going to be tempted to throw away Hebrews or throw away James, throw away all those circumcision writers. That's what Martin Luther wanted to do. He wanted to get rid of James because he couldn't figure out how James fits in the scheme. James is out there saying faith alone cannot save you, will not save you. You have to have faith combined with works, and if you don't, you're doomed. Oh, thanks, James. Great message. Luther couldn't make it mesh with Romans, and it doesn't. But Luther wasn't very smart at what he did next. He said James is an epistle of straw, should be out of the Bible. Didn't even want James in the Bible. I would like to have a beer with Martin Luther and tell him that these are two different messages to two different people. They're not supposed to mesh. Now, verse 26, Hebrews 10, for at our sinning voluntarily, after obtaining the recognition of the truth, it is no longer leaving a sacrifice concerned with sins, but a certain fearful waiting for judging and fiery jealousy about to be eating the hostile. Eating the hostile. Who comes up with this? The Holy Spirit does, giving it to Paul, writing to his compatriots who are still in the circumcision gospel. Paul's not, but he has a superior knowledge and he passes it on. And he's warning them, you got to stay true to your evangel. You have to overcome. You do have to do works. And you better not throw away Christ because there's going to be a certain fearful waiting for judgment. And if you're hostile, you're going to be eaten alive. This is not our message. It's a joke to think that that's our message. But see, Paul is giving this legitimately to the Hebrews. Let's go on here. So beautiful. For and our sinning voluntarily, after obtaining a recognition of the truth, it is no longer leaving a sacrifice concerned with sins, but a certain fearful waiting for judging and fiery jealousy about to be eating the hostile. Anyone repudiating Moses' law is dying without pity on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment are you supposing will he be counted worthy who tramples on the Son of God and deems the blood of the covenant by which he is hallowed contaminating and outrages the Spirit of grace? So this is worse than Moses, according to what is written here. If somebody is killed, somebody is stoned for disobeying Moses, how much more punishment do you think is coming to eat the people who disregard and disobey the Son of God and who tramples on the Son of God and deems the blood of the covenant by which he is hallowed contaminating? Such a person outrages the Spirit of grace. For we are acquainted with him who is saying, mine is vengeance, I will repay, the Lord is saying. And again, the Lord will be judging his people. Fearful is it to be falling into the hands of the living God. Now you tell me, if that agrees with this, nothing consequently is condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Beware of a fearful, judging, fiery jealousy, and a certain fearful waiting for judgment, about to be eating the hostile. Or how about this? Romans chapter 5, being then justified by faith, we may be having peace toward God through our Lord Jesus Christ, as long as we don't do anything wrong, at which time the fiery jealousy of God will be coming and eating the hostile people. And if you think that it was bad disobeying the law of Moses, don't you dare even think of disobeying Jesus Christ, because by doing so, you will be trampling his blood. No. Are you kidding me? Being then justified by faith, we may be having peace toward God through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have access also by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we may be glorying in expectation of the glory of God. Glorying in expectation of the glory of God. But if you sin voluntarily, after obtaining the recognition of the truth, there's no more sacrifice for you. In other words, Christ can't be re-crucified. If you disregard, if you disobey that one, then there's nothing else left for you, because that was the propitiation for your sin. But you have to be worthy of it. You have to produce fruit worthy of repentance of that, because it's no longer leaving a sacrifice with sins. What do you have to look forward to? What do you have to look forward to if you sin voluntarily? You know what you have to look forward to? A certain fearful waiting for judgment. Don't turn your light off at night. You think the monsters under the bed when you were a kid were bad? This is worse. Fearful waiting for judging and fiery jealousy. Whoa, what's the fiery jealousy going to do? Eat the hostile. It's going to eat the hostile. Are you hostile? Sometimes. Well, you're going to get salt and pepper put on you. Maybe some vinegar and oil. You might be mixed in with some onions, tomatoes, jalapeno peppers, and you'll be eaten alive. Kind of what happened to the Israelites back in the wilderness. Kind of what happened to the Israelites when they committed prostitution. Kind of what happened with the Israelites after they worshipped idols, after Moses went up to the mountain. But it's going to be worse than what happened to those people, because they're disobeying Jesus Christ. Vengeance is mine, I will repay. This is not vengeance is mine, I will repay. But still we should be glorying. Yes, glorying in grace. Glorying in expectation of the glory of God. And some people think that this is the same gospel. Some people think that this is the same gospel. Some people can read Romans and then read Hebrews and say, well, that makes sense. No, it's all the same. There's no difference. No difference here. Fearful looking for... No difference here. No difference. No difference? No difference. Charles, you're not going to... Charles, there's some people... Charles, listen. There's actually some people who think that a glorying and expectation of grace is the same as a fearful waiting for judgment and a fiery indignation about to be eating the hostile. Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous. Sorry for that little tantrum. I'm back. So, this weekend, I would like you to read Hebrews to learn about the Hebrews, but do not read Hebrews to try to extract truth for you out of Hebrews. It's somebody else's mail. Thank goodness. It's like getting a bill from the hospital, and you open it up, and you find out you owe $100,000. And you cry and you sweat and you call your banker and you call your friends. But you forgot to look at the address on the envelope. Oh, shit, that was from my neighbor. Yeah, well, take it back to your neighbor. Take Hebrews back to Israel. That's where it belongs. Take James back to Israel. That's where it belongs. Even Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John belong to Israel. This amazing grace and peace that I've been talking about, the transcendent grace of God, which gives us an expectation of nothing but glory. That's our expectation. Not fiery jealousy, not vengeance is mine, not being punished for repudiating the cross of Christ. Even if you do repudiate the cross of Christ, where sin abounds, grace superabounds. Romans 5:20. Do you read that in Hebrews? Fiery indignation. Waiting for judgment. Eating the hostile. But don't worry, because where all these things increase, grace superexceeds, you're in good shape. No, you're not going to read that in Hebrews. Distinguish what is different. Read the scriptures with discernment. It's not all written to you. It's all written for you, but it's not all written to you. Be glorying in expectation of the grace of God.